I am. I am. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman, yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come, see a man who told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then went out of the city and came unto him. And the greatest words in Pentecost, you may be seated. You are a blessed people in this church today. I know the background and some of the things that have happened to this great church over the last few years, but there is such a joy and such an excitement and such a love for God in this church that it is as if none of those things have ever happened. And I believe with all my heart God will honor your faithfulness to his kingdom. And I am thankful for your pastor, your pastor's wife, and their family. I want to say that about their children also. Their kids are great. These are Holy Ghost-filled people. And they believe this truth, and they love it, and live it, and walk it, talk it. So I am thankful to be part of their friendship, their group, their circle. I love Brother and Sister Kyle. He has been a tremendous asset to the Florida District and to our district directors across America, of which we have 56 district directors. And Brother Kyle is the district director of Florida, has done such a tremendous job. He's one of those long-term directors because he didn't take this job because it was a position. He took it because he felt a call to help. And he does a tremendous job for our missionary family, and I want to say thank you from our missionary family to him for all that the Florida District has accomplished. And then what he has done here in West Palm. I came here and preached when Titus White was the pastor back in probably 1980, 81. And I stayed with Brother Titus White. We went fishing in a boat he had, like to capsize and drowned in the ocean. God was merciful to us, saved us both. I don't know if he saved Brother White, and I was just a recipient. But I'm thankful I'm alive today. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Been a long way since then. And now, Brother Kyle, your pastor, has been here many years and done a wonderful work and doing a great job. And I'm telling you, you don't have anything to be ashamed of in this church. This is a great church. Your singers did tremendous. That choir was great, my God. If you just were older, I'd sing a song this morning, but you're not old enough to know my songs. So, but those choir singers, wow, tremendous job. And then the different languages. There's a great constituency of the Church of Haiti here. Yeah, I heard them. And then the Church of Jamaica. Man, you go to Jamaica, you better put your preaching shoes on. Heavenly Father, those people will kill a good man. They don't know how to quit. But I am amazed as I travel across America, but not just in our larger cities, but even in our smaller cities, the multicultural influx now in our churches, small and great, makes me to know Jesus is doing a work in this last hour. And the Holy Ghost is being poured out upon all nations. And I'm glad to see that in this church. So I'm going to stop rambling now. We'll preach a little while. Is that all right? I'm going to take off my watch. You know what it means when a preacher takes off his watch? Absolutely nothing. I want to preach on the simple subject of verse 27, the last question. The disciples said, "Why talkest thou with her?" And I want to preach about the why tonight. Now, I'm only 54 years old, but I've been in this thing all my life. I was born with the Holy Ghost, came out of my mother's womb speaking in tongues like John the Baptist. But I'm going to tell you a little bit about my background, and you'll know why I'm a crazy person. But Jesus made the statement, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." In 1945, the United Pentecostal Church was formed. And it was formed by a merger of several oneness organizations. At that time, there were 47 missionaries working in 9 nations around the world, and a total of 240 churches were reported outside of North America. That's 22% of the churches were on foreign soil at that time. But because of the giving of the United Pentecostal Church, and because of the hand of God blessing the United Pentecostal Church and saints just like you, turn to your neighbor and say, "Just like you," there are now 293 missionaries across the world serving in 210 nations, 352 aimers, 46 regional missionaries, 21,485 national ministers, 34,491 churches and preaching points, 1,806 new churches and preaching points were established last year. That's 5 new churches every day of the year. ...298 people were baptized in Jesus' name every day of the year last year, for a total of 108,993. 363 people received the Holy Ghost every day of the year. 132,477. Today, because of the United Pentecostal Church giving and the hand of God, 81% of our churches are outside of the United States of North America. This is why the United Pentecostal Church is here, to take the whole gospel to the whole world by the whole church. The world has got to hear about Jesus Christ. This is why She's for Christ was brought about, to put wheels under the feet of the missionary. Why Mother's Memorial was brought about, to build Bible schools and supply missionaries with appliances. Why Home Missions came into being, because North America was formed to reach the local base of North America to apply. And that is why we are here, because God has blessed North America. God, I'm more blessed today than I've ever been in my life. God has blessed North America. But Brother Kyle, He didn't do it to pad my pockets. He did it where I could propagate the gospel to the entire world, that I could give and send missionaries, and I could reach souls from where I sit in my home church. Everything about this church is to reach the world with the gospel. And we have the revelation of who He is. We're not searching for God. We know who God is. We know what His name is. Jesus said to His disciples in Matthew chapter 16, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" They said, "Some say thou art Elias, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." That's the best men can do in trying to describe Jesus, is put Him in with other men. But Jesus turned, and I like it, because He really doesn't care what the world says. He's more concerned about what you say. And He turned to His disciples and He said, "Who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus makes a statement here that you need to grasp. "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but My Father which is in heaven."
I still believe that the revelation of the name of Jesus is altogether necessary. It's not just enough to call his name. You got to have it down in your heart and know he is the one true living God, the I Am, and nothing can shake you from that revelation. Jesus said, because you know this by a revelation of the Spirit, upon this rock, the rock of the knowledge of who he is. If you're not on that rock, you don't know what's going on. You're just floating around in sand and salt water. But when you get on the rock and you know who he is, it don't matter how many devils come rushing down on you. You'll take them on with a cup of water. Because in the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. In the name of Jesus, demons tremble. In the name of Jesus, kings are brought down and the kingdom of God is lifted up. In the name of Jesus, chains are broken, fetters are ripped away. In the name of Jesus, sin is forgiven, sin is washed away. In the name of Jesus, all power is given in heaven and in earth. Somebody say that name. Somebody say that name. Thomas said, shew us the Father. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Thomas said, show us. Jesus said, how long have I been with you? You don't know who I am. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. John 10 and 30 said, I and my Father are one. Jesus was not part of a Godhead. He was all of the Godhead wrapped in one. Colossians 2 and 9, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead body. And I like that second part, and ye are complete. Friend, you're not complete until you know Jesus Christ. You're not complete until you got his name burned in your heart by the blood of the Lamb. You're not complete until you can say, Jesus! And know the devil's going to run. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself, Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God. You know what to wit means? Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself and hath committed unto us the ministry of reconciliation. We are Jesus Christ walking in the earth. The only Jesus they're going to see is the church in the last hour. We got to have enough Jesus in us that they see through all the other muck of religionism and socialism, and they see the true living church of Jesus Christ and are drawn to the Jesus that is in you. Don't you ever wonder when you get to heaven how many you're going to see? John got there before you did. Said, I looked and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking to me, which said, come up hither and I will shew thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat upon it. There's only one God up in heaven. The scripture so plainly declares. Cause if there's three gods up in heaven, they'll have to play musical chairs. One God is sufficient for me, not three. One God is sufficient for me. Oh, I wish I had some one God apostolics in this house today. Ephesians 4 and 5, there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism. One. One way to God. Oh, there's one. One way to God. Well, there's one. One way to God. Baptized in Jesus' name. Through the water and the Spirit. There's one way to God. Through the water and the Spirit. There's one way to God. Through the water and the Spirit. There's one way to God, baptized in Jesus. Come on, sing it. Oh, there's one. One way to God. One. One way to God. Oh, there's one. One way to God, baptized. Let's thank God for the name. There's only one way in this thing, Brother Kyle. There's not 500 ways, and we're all trying to find the right way. I have found the way that leads to endless day. I'm not looking for it. I found it. I said, I'm not looking for it. I found it. Jesus said to Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? He's still thinking carnal. That's the problem. We're living in a socialized, carnalistic world of religion. And everybody's trying to find their own way. It's not your way, it's his way. And Jesus very patiently said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And I'll go a little farther, Jesus said. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not. Don't be shocked. You must be born again. You must be, but turn to your neighbor and say it. You must be born again of the water and of the Spirit. There is no other way. We quoted it today, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promises unto you, unto your children, unto all that are far off. And then with many other words did he testify and exhort unto them, save yourselves. Turn to your neighbor and say, you can't do it for me. I got to do it for myself. And there's only one way and only one name. Simon Peter said, Acts 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other name, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we, not might, not can choose, must. It's a necessity. You must turn to your neighbor and say, you must be born again. You must. And I've come to tell you as a reminder, in 2015, the message of the death, burial, and resurrection is not for sale. We must bring this message to the lost and dying world, because they're hearing the trash of man-made theologies. But I'm here to remind us of why we're here. Jesus said, I must needs go through Samaria. His purpose was to meet a woman who was far away from what you would call a prime saint candidate. It is not the kind of person you would choose to witness to. been married 5 times. My God, she can't figure out what I do means. All she can remember is I did. So she finally gave up on marriage and just living with a fella. The guy she was with now wasn't even her husband. Now, that's not to say he wasn't somebody's husband. That's like the woman that caught in adultery. I've always wondered why everybody said she was caught in the very act. Where was the guy? My dad always taught me it takes two to tango. My personal opinion is I think he was a Pharisee, and his buddies knew he was having an affair, and they were protecting him but tempting Jesus. He should have been on the ground too, waiting on the stones. Because sin is sin. I don't care what you call yourself. And so the Bible says, I must needs go through Samaria, and I got to find a woman that's really not with it. Meets her at a well where she's coming down when none of the other women come because it's the wrong time of the day. But she's there because she's ashamed. Jesus is waiting on her. Oh, aren't you glad he waited on you? Such were some of you, the Bible said. And I thank God that he brought us out of darkness into a marvelous light. And so the Jesus that's leaning on this well is the same Jesus that's trying to talk to your heart today. He says to this woman, give me to drink. She says, how is it you being a Jew ask me, a Samaritan, give you water? He said, woman, if you knew who I was. See, that's the whole difference between us and the world. We know who he is. She didn't know who he was, but she was fixing to find out. He said, if you knew who I was and the water that I had to give, you'd ask me, give me to drink. Because the water I give, he said, you'll never thirst again. She said, oh, give me that water where I'll never come to this well again. Jesus began to preach to her and said, go call your husband. Oh, man, you got to repent before you ever get close to the Holy One. Well, it gets quiet then. Everybody likes to talk about the Holy Ghost. Nobody likes to talk about what it takes to get there. That's what I tell them about headquarters. Everybody likes sausage, but nobody wants to know how it's made. And I work in the sausage factory, headquarters, and I know how the sausage made. And I'm not telling you. She had to repent. She had to get her heart right. And finally, the revelation of who he was came to her. And he said, I'll be in you a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Now, I want you to notice something here. She runs back to the city with a revelation. And she says, come see a man who told me everything. And the Bible says this whole city of Samaria came out to see him. So by the time this woman goes back, preaches this gospel through the city, his disciples are back with food. And they said, Master, take meat and eat. And he says, I have meat to eat that you know not of. And they said, hath any man brought him sustenance? What has he eaten? And he turns and says, I say unto you, you say 4 months and then cometh the harvest, but look unto the hills. He didn't say look to the plains where the wheat is planted. He said look unto the hills, for the fields are ripe already to. Why did he say that? Because Samaria dressed in white robes. And when they were making their way down that hillside to the well of Jacob, it looked like sheaves of wheat blowing in the wind. And Jesus said, look, the field, I'm talking about the field. If you don't go to Publix and get under conviction about all the people you see that are lost and undone, you need another dose of the Holy Ghost. Oh, God. Oh, I'm telling you, if you go to work and you haven't witnessed to that guy that works beside you every day, you're missing it. If you haven't witnessed to that woman that sits beside you at the desk, you're missing it. This is why we are here. This is why God gave you that job. This is why God placed you where you're at. This is why you're in high school in a class that doesn't even believe in praying anymore. This is why we are walking in the midst of the earth. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory, that the world can see Jesus in you and be drawn to the wells of salvation. Why are we here? Now, I'm gonna throw you back 50 years. My dad, I've been in missions all my life. It's all I've known. My dad was a home missionary before he was a foreign missionary. He was a home missionary before we had home missions. He started the church in Titusville, Florida, back in the early 60s. Titusville, Florida is pastored now by a boy who was born in that church. His mother was a Cuban refugee whom my mom and dad found pushing a baby carriage on the sidewalk, pregnant with Joel. They witnessed to her, had a Bible study. God filled her with the Holy Ghost. We baptized her. She invited him over to meet her husband, and he ran back in the back room and shut the door. He was a backslidden preacher's son. When my dad coaxed him out, he said, I knew. He started crying. He said, I knew when you came, I was either going to have to get right with God or leave this city. He got right with God. He's still one of the elders in that church. His son is the pastor of the church in Titusville, Florida. Now, I'm going to tell you how church used to be. Any of you complaining about this in here, get over it. I'm going to tell you how it was. I grew up. The first church we had was a storefront. Baldwin Plaza is what it was called. It was right beside a coffee diner and right next to Gino's shoe shop. The guy didn't want to rent to my dad because it was a church, and Gino from Italy couldn't hardly speak English well. You're not going to take them out. They are free. I came up to this country because I wanted free. I don't know if that's Italian or not, but it's all I can think of. He argued with that guy until the guy said, sure, Gino, we'll rent it to him, and rented this storefront. We put big burgundy curtains all the way across the glass. We had chairs in there, upright piano, 5 guitars, 12 accordions, and 600 tambourines. My God, you didn't even have to know how to keep a beat to play a tambourine in Pentecost back then. You just made noise unto the Lord. Let everyone that hath a tambourine beat it to death. We had a woman come in one night. She was dressed to the hilt, had a fur on, had nice jewelry, and she was high society. She walked in, and when you walk in, those curtains just flow back together again. She found a seat, sit back somewhere near one of the back slidden knotheads, and the church got going, and man, you're talking about revival. We were shouting, snorting, bucking, speaking in tongues, falling out, rolling on the floor. That's why they called us holy rollers. We don't do enough rolling anymore. We don't do enough bucking and snorting either. That's what people come in to see. They come in to see Pentecost in action. They can see dead religion any other church they go to. But they come in the church of Jesus Christ to see the move of the Holy Ghost. And God help us if we don't show it to them. She got nervous, jumped up, tried to get out. Couldn't remember where the door was. Down one side of that curtain, down the other side. She turned around and said, somebody help me get out of this crazy place. One of our carnal saints sitting at the back got up and pulled the curtain back and said, right here, ma'am. Wish I was going with you. We moved to a little old church we called the Palmetto Church. It was way outside of town by the power plant. No one wanted to be by the power plant. We tore out all the walls. It was shaped in a V. Trazo floors. Slatback pews. Anybody know what a slatback pew is? Slatback pews are just slats put on a piece of wood that's supposed to be formed to your body. No one has a body formed that way. No one. I'd fall asleep on it, wake up with stripes coming down my face, look like I'd been in prison, got a sunburn. Upright piano, 5 guitars, accordions everywhere, and the same 500 and 600 tambourines. They'd leave them at church just in case they forgot them, where they'd know where they were, sitting under the pew. Hallelujah. We started having revival and moves of the Spirit. We didn't have any rooms for Sunday school, so my dad cut down pine trees, sunk them in the ground, and then put palm fronds over the top, and that was our Sunday school classrooms outside. That's where Lester Green was married with Eva Hopkins. We had Sunday school out there and come in for church. And God started filling people with the Holy Ghost. When my dad pulled out of that church and bought the church that there is in Titusville now, Brother Hopkins' father was there. He wanted to go start a church in Cocoa. My dad sent families with him and said, go build a church. That's why there's a church in Cocoa right now. The reason we moved was my dad found a duplex house. And the guy said, I want to tell you how we raised money back then. Now people can just give. Then we raised money. We sold Krispy Kreme donuts until to this day I get sick when I see Krispy Kreme. I used to sell, my dad made us little sweatshop workers. We walked the streets as kids with stacks of donuts knocking on doors at 6 and 7 o'clock in the morning. I remember knocking on the door and a man came to the door and said, what? Barely in his room, he just looked like he'd had a bad year. I said, I'm selling donuts for our church. I don't want any of your, and then he explicitly explained what kind of donuts I apparently had. I'd never heard words like that in my whole life. I just sat there trembling. I said, he's going to kill me. I'm going to die for the gospel. Or for Krispy Kreme one, I'm not sure. He slammed the door. I was walking down his driveway and the door opened. And I thought, oh God, he's going to shoot me in the back. I'm just a kid, Jesus. And he yelled, hey, kid! I said, oh, no, he wants it to look like self-defense. I got to turn around. Come back up here. He's going to drag me in his house and throw me in a basement. We didn't even have basements in Florida. I don't know. Pulled out a $20 bill and said, here, take this for your church. I said, well, you want your donuts? He said, I want your... And he explained the same donuts to me again. Sure, I thought about putting that 20 in my pocket for the abuse I suffered for Jesus that day. Sure, I thought about it. But I had a dad coming down the road in a Volkswagen van. And I knew he'd know. He could smell a $20 bill from a mile away. We cooked chicken. We baked pies. We sold everything we could think of and raised $1,000. And my dad put that down on a duplex house. And the next day, us boys and him were in there with hammers and sledgehammers breaking down walls and tearing off the roof. And we did that without another penny knowing whether it would come in or not. The district started calling and saying, how can we help you, Brother Abernathy? We were going to the junkyard. We were getting old wood. We were beating nails out, and I was straightening them out on concrete blocks and putting them in five-gallon buckets to build the church in Titusville. When we got the roof up and the sheeting was down, I remember my dad was climbing around trying to put tar paper down, and a man pulled up at a big truck, said, Vaughn's Roofing on the side of it, and he yelled out to my dad. He said, hey, what are you doing? My dad said, I'm building a church. He said, what kind of church? He said, United Pentecostal Church. And the man started crying in his truck. He got out, walked up to the roof, and said to my dad, I'm a backslider from Gainesville, Florida. He said, let me call my boys. We're going to put this roof on for you. Four boys came out. All four of them prayed back through their families in the church in Titusville. That daddy died in the truth. Two of his sons have already died in the truth, but the other two are still alive and living for God. And their children are pastoring churches. I'm talking about God has a church. This is why we are here. This is why we do what we do. You can say what you want to, but God's going to have a church whether the world likes it or not, whether the devil has agreed with it or not, whether the world and socialism's fighting it. God's going to build a church in this earth. One of our African preachers, I got to close. One of our African preachers got money from a church in North America to build him a building. He built it out of old bricks they made themselves, whitewashed it. Had openings for windows, old wooden doors. Am I done? Are they leaving because of me? Oh, that's music. Well, I'm not that close. This was the first I'm fixing to close. So he finally builds this church with this money that's been sent for him from one church in North America. Puts a tin roof on it. The first Sunday, he opens the doors. He's waiting inside the church. Nobody's coming, and he sees them gathering outside. So he comes out. There's just a handful there. He gets his Bible and climbs up on top of this church in the middle of summer, hot, on this fresh, new tin roof. Stands on the peak, opens his Bible, and begins to preach. Then Peter said unto them, repent. New church in his home village. He was going to preach whether they liked it or not. The reason they didn't come in, the whole village gathered out and were sitting outside. The reason was the witch doctor had told him. She said, if you go in that church, I'll curse you and your family and your children's children. They feared her. She finally came and stood behind the people who were sitting in the grass, and he just kept on preaching. And the longer he preached, the more she started twitching. And finally, all of a sudden, she ran and burst her way through that crowd all the way to the doors of the church and fell down on her face weeping, this witch doctor. He jumped down off the roof and come down and laid hands. He rebuked every devil he could think of and some he didn't even know, casting everything he could out of her. Wasn't but a few minutes, and this witch doctor lifted her hands and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. These people all stood there in amazement, not knowing what was going on, and she had just lost her power and gained another power that was greater. When she finally stopped speaking in tongues, she looked around weeping, and she said, this is incredible. He said, you need to be baptized. She said, I'll do whatever you say, but all I need to know is, where are the two big men in white clothes that dragged me up here and threw me at the door? There are not enough devils in West Palm Beach to keep this church from reaching it. There are not, come on now, there's not enough darkness to keep the light of the gospel of Christ out. Somebody stand and say yes. Somebody stand and say revival. Somebody stand and say in Jesus' name. Come on, let's worship the Lord right now. This is why. I said, this is why. We are here. This is why we have come. And this is why God has built the church. These signs shall follow them that believe. You can stand with me. I'm done. These signs shall follow them that believe. Brother Kyle, Brother Mamela was the superintendent of Africa for many years. South Africa. Great man of God. He always wanted to go back and start a church in his home village. He finally did. When he got there, no one would allow him in their houses due to what the witch doctor had said. But an African will never let you go hungry if they have food. And so they brought him food on banana leaves every day. They'd bring him food. He would eat, sleep under the trees. Then he'd get up and he would witness all day when they were walking around. Several weeks went by. And finally, one evening while he was eating, the witch doctor came running up and fell to his knees in front of him and said, "My Mela, I don't know what power you got, but," he said, "I've poisoned your food 3 times. And," he said, "the last time, this time, what you're eating right now, I poisoned it. You should have taken 2 bites and died." He said, "You got a power greater than mine." He said, "I need to know about this Jesus you've been preaching." Folks, let me tell you something. Jesus is going to have a church. It doesn't matter what's going on. I was pastoring in Indiana, and I wanted to have revival so bad. So I got a weird idea, a crazy idea. I got hundreds of balloons, and I stuffed "Why We Baptize in Jesus' Name, Filled with the Holy Ghost" tracks inside the balloons, and I blew them both the helium, brought the young people out on one Saturday. We had a hot dog cookout. I said, "We're going to let these balloons go, and God's going to bring them down all over Bloomington and Bedford. People are going to come rushing in this church." We let those hundreds of balloons go. I set chairs out. My God, I had it so stuffed in there. I had guys sitting in the back waiting to bring more chairs. I said, "We're not going to be able to contain the people that are coming in this church this Sunday." Nobody came. So I said, "It's next Sunday. Those balloons are just now coming down." I was off a bit. So the next Sunday, we got the chairs out again, set them out. Nothing happened. 3 months went by. We finally took the chairs to the back. I was praying for a new idea. Sitting in my office on a Wednesday night getting ready for Bible study. The phone rang. I answered it. Lady on the other end said, "Is this Reverend Abernathy?" I said, "Yes." She said, "Are you the Apostolic Church in Harrodsburg?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, I am." She said, "I was mowing my yard yesterday." And she said, "While I was mowing, I looked up in the tree and there was something blue hanging in the tree." I thought, "Oh, God. Oh, God, lawsuit's coming." She said, "I went in my garage, got my rake, and raked it down out of the tree, and I realized it was a balloon." She said, I said, "Oh, God. You can't do that nowadays. They'll put you in jail for environmental." So she said, "I realized something was inside the balloon." She said, "So I took it back in the house. I cut it open." She said, "It was your track." She said, "I am the mayor of a city here in eastern Kentucky." She said, "I could not sleep all night last night. I want to be baptized in Jesus' name." I'll never forget that as long as I live, Brother Kyle, because I realize that God took one balloon out of the crazy notion a preacher had, and God guided a balloon all the way down through to Kentucky. It should have never made it, but he lodged it in the tree of a woman whose heart was hungry. I'm talking about the why of the United Pentecostal Church. God has a plan for West Palm Beach. God has a plan for revival that will bust out walls of buildings and put us in soccer stadiums and football stadiums, because we are not going to be able to keep up with the hand of God as it reaches out for lost and dying humanity. I don't know about you, but I want to be part of that why. I want that why to consume me, and I want to be there where I can yell out to God, "Be the glory for the things which He has done." Do you want to be part of that miracle? If you would you lift your hands with me right now?
Come on, let's stand to our feet and give God praise. Let's love Him and praise Him. What a wonderful God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Oh Lord, we just want to bring this gospel to the world. We want to reveal Your name to men and women that are lost and dying. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. I want you to be seated. Now, in a little bit, we're going to go eat. Tell your neighbor, we got an incredible meal waiting on us. Incredible. But tell them, but first we want your money. We're going to have an awesome time. And which one do I use? We're going to have an awesome time. Stereo. But the point of the service today is to recommit to missions. This church, Tabernacle of Pentecost, between July and June, because that's how headquarters does the calendar, between June or July of 14 to this year, this church, you, and your sacrificial giving gave $112,000 to foreign missions. Come on, put your hands together. Let's do better than that. Come on. Let's give God thanks. In fact, you know what? It's the Lord that did that. How about you get your little thing out? Let's do that real quick. Get this little sign out and just hold it up to the Lord. Will you do that? And let's just shout out to Him. Thank you, Jesus. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. My, my. Now, this is what we're going to do. You have your little, well, we call them PIMs. Everybody say partners in missions. Because He divided this on how much it costs per soul. That's overseas, right? Every $300, someone is filled with the Holy Ghost around the world. So because of our giving, 373 people received the gift of the Holy Ghost and was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on, put your hands together. What a mighty God we serve. Thank God for the United Pentecostal Church. I think you said we averaged like 360 last year a day. That means we were responsible for one of those days last year. I like that. Come on. That's awesome. Somebody shout, that's awesome. So get this. It's PIM. It's Partners in Missions. Put your name on it, and I'd like to have your email and phone number if you will. And on there where it says amount. Now, I want you to listen to Pastor. I'll take just a moment to explain this. God wants us to be good stewards of His money. Amen? So don't put some amount on there that you know you cannot afford. Don't say, well, by faith, I'm going to give $500 a month, and you know that's not in your budget, and you struggle to make it, and then you can't make it. And what happens? Condemnation. You feel condemned. You feel guilty. That's not what God's about. So this is the commitment that you're making. You're putting on this slip. You're saying to the Lord, now God, things are tight. It's tight for all of us. Things are tight. But you know what? I'll skip a few coconut pies and a few Coca-Colas and a few bags of Lay's barbecue potato chips. And I can probably scrounge up $20 a month. Some of you give 50, some give several hundred. And so what we're going to write on there is what we know we can do. What we know we can do every single month to help support missions. And these monies are taken in. They're put into the mission accounts. And then every month we pay our PIM pledges to the missionaries around the world. We send that money in, headquarters puts that money out, and our missionaries can eat and drive vehicles and live in a decent home in a country that they have sacrificed all of the conveniences of America, and they've brought their children there, and we just want to help them be blessed. Amen? So that's what this is. I want you to know what this is. And so you put on there that amount, and then what you do, this is what you do. This is what we do, my wife and I. She's not out here. She's in the cafeteria getting things ready. I don't know. My wife and I give several hundred a month. Over the years, she has increased that. And we give. and the Lord blesses and honors. But if God does something for us special, then when we come on Mission Sunday, the first Sunday of every month here at the church, what we do is we'll pay our pledge that we pledge to the Lord. This is what I will give, $5 a month, $10 a month, $100 a month, $1,000 a month, however the Lord has blessed you. But we have extra. That's when you give that extra. Are you following, Pastor? So you don't put that on here because you want to be able to fulfill this commitment. And here's the beautiful thing about God. You put what you know you can do on this pledge card, and this is what we're going to do. You're going to put that amount on there. You're going to fold it. Where's my chest? Get my chest out here. Bring it right up here in front of this. And this is why we have this map here. Open that chest up. This is why we have this map. Because these are the countries that do not have a United Pentecostal Church in them. Now, when you think about it, we're in 210 countries around the world. So there's only like 13, 20, I don't know. 24 countries that we're not in. And these lights show you where those countries are. So when we come up and we put this slip in this world globe with our $5 or $20 or whatever it is you can do a month, you're saying to the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to put churches in these countries. And you know what the Lord said to his disciples? He said, go preach this gospel to the world. And he said, when all the world has heard, what did he say? He said, I'm coming back. You want to get him back? You want to go to heaven? You want to get in this rapture and get out of this crazy world? Oh, we need to turn these lights out. That's what we need to do. And I hope next year when we do this, I hope half of these lights are out. We're going to leave the bulbs in there, but we're going to somehow break them so they won't shine. And then we'll just have the few that are left. And when you put this in the slip here, you fill this out, your name, email, and phone number, and your amount on there. And you're going to slip that in that hole. You're going to get one of these envelopes. Now, these envelopes, which say I am global, is a mixture of a $100, $75, and $50. Not for you, but it's a bill. You're like, dude, I'm going to keep going until I get to 100. No, it's a pledge. And what this is we have till January. Everybody say January. And so whatever amount that is on that, now this is something, understand, if you can't, you're not able, you don't worry about it. But God's going to make you able. Do you understand that? He's going to make you able. He's going to help you to do it. And what these monies are going to do, what this is going to do, this special offering, which is due by January, that's what's going to build that school in Liberia for those children to be able to go to school. It's going to purchase that generator for the missionary that's in Zambia. And it's going to also, it has it right here on the pledge. There's one other thing. Oh, it's going to help send back. There's six. How many families are left? Eight? Right. Yeah, but we collected. I'm talking about the ones we didn't get the money for at all. 11. And that's what the majority of this is going to go towards. Send that into headquarters towards sending families. Our missionary families that are now traveling around the country, going to churches, you know, we've had them, and we help them and pledge to them and we bless them. We don't want them to travel for 2 years in America while their work in their country, whatever they've been called to, suffers. We want to send them back to their work of labor. Can you say amen? And so that's what these envelopes are going to do. So when you put your pledge in there, you're going to pick up one of these. Now listen to Pastor very carefully. Even if you decide that you do not want to commit to a monthly pledge to missions, monthly pledge, and by the way, what you would do is anytime during the month, it doesn't matter, on your tithing envelope, there's one of them says foreign missions, right? It says foreign missions. And you would just put that amount in there. And we know that it's your monthly pledge, okay? Now, I didn't mean for you to read it. I wanted, is that a tithing envelope? I wanted to be able to read it. I mentioned the tithing envelope. He gets one and looks at it. So on there, it says foreign missions, about four or five down. You would just put it right there, $20, $50, whatever it is. And the treasurer will know. They'll go into your records and mark it and know that you'd paid for that month. And if you don't pay, we're not going to call you or email you or anything like that. This is between you and the Lord. Say, this is between me and God. And so you do that on a monthly basis. We collect our main giving on the first of the month, the first Sunday of the month. But you can pay it any time during the month. And you make that pledge until every month, until we do this again. And we do it every other year because it's a recommitment. It gives you a chance to raise or lower your pledge, whatever you feel you need to do or can do. All right? So this isn't about feeling guilty or nothing like that. This is about investing in foreign missions and reaching souls around the world. But even if you're not going to give a pledge, if you're not going to do the monthly pledge, we still want you to walk up because we want you to get one of these envelopes. And between now and January, you're going to do that. So you'll get an envelope and you'll open it up. Obviously, this one's mine. And you'll pull out the little slip. And you'll just take this home with you, right? You don't have to fill nothing out. You just take this home. Ah, I got lucky. Only 50 bucks. See how God loves people? It says, I will give $50 to I Am Global. This pledge is to send missionaries back to their field. It is to build a school in Liberia. And it is to purchase that generator for the missionary that is in Zambia, all right? So this is what we're going to do. I want you to take, who doesn't have a PIM pledge slip? Stand. Would you stand? I won't be able to see your hands. My ushers are ready. There's only a few of us. Great. Or only a few of you that are admitting to it. You do not have a PIM pledge form. They're going to get this to you really fast. We're almost done. We're fixing to go eat. It's okay. We're fixing to go eat. I know that's why you're here anyway. It's why we go to weddings. You know, I do weddings. I'm fixing to do one for Katie Ann. Woo! Won't be long. Do one for Katie Ann. I'm really going for the food. But I have to do a couple of things while I'm there. But it's really about the food. So make sure there's some good food there. You know that's why we go to weddings, right? It's for the food. All right. Okay, so I want you to take your PIM form. You should have already put your name on it and your number and your email. You can do it in a little bit. I want you to take it. Let's stand. You're going to hold it up before the Lord. And we're going to put the amount on it here in just a second. Let's stand to our feet. And even if you're not going to fill one out, please stand with us because we like to do things in unity. Like to do it together. Nobody leave. Nobody leave me. Don't leave me. I know how you are. You try to sneak out when people stand. But me and Jesus, we got our eye on you. Because we're going to pray together. We're going to ask God to anoint these pledges. I wish there was some way I could draw a picture of you right now of the Lord Jesus Christ looking down on this congregation. Because he knows that what we're about to do, it means reaching souls around the world. That every dime given will reach a soul somewhere upon this great, great, great world. So take your form. You have it in your hands. It would have been in your bulletin. There's one in every bulletin. And I want us to raise them up before the Lord right now. Father, I pray that you speak to our hearts and our minds. We want to know what it is that you would have us as an individual to pledge on this Partners in Mission form. Lord God, that we might be able to give this to the church, and the church will take it, and God, it'll go to different missionaries around the world. So Father, I pray right now, speak to our hearts, our minds, and our spirits. Speak to us to know what amount to put on this slip. Help us to be good stewards of our money, not to put some crazy number, but Lord, to put something that may have a little bit of a sacrifice to it, because you will honor that. But an amount that we will give unto missions every month, that souls might be saved, that missionaries might stay on the field. And everybody say, in Jesus' name, say, Lord, speak to me. Okay, I want you to sit back down. Take your pen and write in your amount. You might have to borrow one. Just borrow someone's pen. Write in your amount real quick. We're about to bring them up. We're almost done. It's only 1:13. We're doing good. We're doing good. We're going to hold up our I Am Global signs here in just a second when we go to shout and thank and praise the Lord Jesus Christ for what he is going to do. Amen. Borrow a pen. How many still writing? I know some of you got so many zeros to put on it. Just make sure those zeros are to the left of the decimal, not to the right. Okay, everybody done? Everybody got, we got our amount? Got our amount? Okay, everyone stand. Listen, even our youth, if you're not pledging, you can get one of these. Get up, Rashard. You've eaten enough food at my house, son, in the last few weeks. You better get one of those. You owe Jesus. You owe me too. But I'll work it out of you. All right. So we're going to, even if you're not doing a PIM pledge, it's okay. I'd still like for you to come up, grab an envelope, and if you're not going to do either, just walk up with us just so it looks good. I just want it to look good that we're all coming, okay? All right, so right before we bring it, hold your pledge up to the Lord real quick. Hold your form up. Father, we're asking for you to bless this pledge, this sacrifice that we are making today to the kingdom of God, that souls might be won, that missionaries might stay on the field. God, we've had 4 missionary families come out of this church. And Father, we want to see that be even more and more and more, and we want to be able to bless them. So Father, bless every family, every individual, every young person, every mom, every dad, every child, Lord, that is committing to the mission field. I pray your blessings upon them financially, blessings upon their health, blessing upon their families, Lord, in the mighty, powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I feel something already building up in the atmosphere. So I want to begin to come right now. We're not going to make a whole lot of, you're just going to, you know what, let's do it. Yeah, just come. It's going to be chaotic, but it doesn't matter. Put it in that little dilly right there. Just slip it in the hole and then get you an envelope. Come on. I love it. I love it. And then we're going to go back to our seat and we're going to hold up I Am Global. We're going to shout and we're going to worship. And if you want more than one envelope, you can do that as well. Some of you might want to give more than $100 between now and January. Thank you so much, church. Thank you, church. Thank you for being faithful. Thank you for being faithful. Thank you for being faithful.
Chains are breaking and your kingdom.
envelope. We got plenty of envelopes.
City too. Whatever we do for the world, he's going to do right here in this city.
Every chain is loose. God, we declare.
Lord bless you. There's all kinds of food in the cafeteria. Bring your I Am Global. I love you. Let's go over there. Let's have a good time. Let's fellowship. Let's eat together. God is a great God. He has blessed us today. I love you.